Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, good morning. My name is Dave Canarium, and I am here representing Sharon Douglas in this case. What this appeal asks of this Court is something very simple and very narrow. This appeal is not asking this Court to find whether equitable tolling applies. This appeal is not asking whether the futility exception is applicable here to the exhaustion of remedies doctrine. The only thing that this appeal addresses is whether the district court should have held an evidentiary hearing when those issues were raised in the lower court. Why an evidentiary hearing? Well, this whole thing arose in response to a motion to dismiss. And in Coons versus Mineta, what has been found by another circuit is that in these circumstances where this issue is raised below, that the district court should hold an evidentiary hearing, and that mere raising of these issues triggers an evidentiary hearing to be held by the court. And all we're asking this court to do is find that evidentiary hearing is appropriate.
Is Ms. Douglas arguing that her illnesses prevented her from communicating with Wimmer, her attorney at the time?
Yeah, Your Honor, basically what she has raised in, and I don't know how you want to characterize it, the letter, the response to the motion to dismiss, whatever it was, that, put it colloquially, she went loopy. And the issue is, and I'm sure would come out in that evidentiary hearing, is whether that status allows her to effectively communicate with her counsel what's going on.
So in other words, what you're saying is that she was, during the relevant 15-day period when she could have filed her formal EEO complaint, that's when she was going loopy?
And I'm going to even expand it beyond that, Your Honor, because it's not just the 15-day period. What she alleges in that correspondence is that there was a lengthy period of time, starting with that period and extending on to an unclear period of time in the future when she was not capable of understanding really anything. And it is that would be addressed at the evidentiary hearing, is whether that's accurate and that's correct. And that's what Coons versus Mineta tells us by making that statement, that the district court should have made an evaluation of through an evidentiary hearing.
Has she to this day filed the EEO complaint or received a right to sue letter?
She has not, Your Honor. And part of the reason why, and it addresses an issue that I would like to address, is part of the problem we have here is that the district court, unusually here, dismissed this matter with prejudice. Once the district court dismissed this matter with prejudice, and since I got involved, she couldn't have at any point once that took place, and that's the problem we have here. There is no opportunity for us at this point, and hasn't been for almost a year, to file anything with the EEOC, Your Honor. In addressing that, there are a number of issues that could be raised by that evidentiary hearing. Her medical condition, as I addressed, whether she has the ability to communicate with counsel, which deals with a constructive notice issue, the lack of notice, there's issues in that notice that is sent by the post office, all those could be raised. The problem by not having an evidentiary hearing here is that what the district court effectively found for all time is that there are no circumstances under which the equitable tolling doctrine or the other issues raised by that letter could apply.
Wasn't she under what, represented by counsel all through these proceedings?
Your Honor, I freely admit that based on the record, the status of the representation is unclear. Here is what we know from what the record reveals, that she was represented at the initial EEOC stage at the EEC pre-counselor hearing. She filed the district court complaint pro se, and so was clearly not represented by an attorney at that point. About several months later, that counsel entered an appearance. However, the plaintiff filed the response to the motion to dismiss as opposed to the attorney.
The attorney was on notice of what was going on.
The attorney was on notice of some of what was going on.
What was kept secret from him?
Well, as far as what the record reveals, and honestly, Your Honor, I don't know. And would certainly, and I freely admit that that is a topic I'm sure would be explored at this hearing that I propose. But
I want it explored now, because if she was represented by counsel and counsel was aware of what was going on, that constitutes a waiver. That's the end of that.
Your Honor, it may be yes and maybe no, and let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, what we know is that for a period of about a year, counsel was not put on notice of what was going on. Between, May of 05 and
April
of 06.
After he filed his appearance, he was not given notice?
And the issue, Your Honor, at that point
is... how do we know that?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't the record show that the counsel of record was receiving notices of what was going on?
Counsel of record was receiving notices of what was going on after he entered his appearance.
Well, at the time of the dismissal, at the time of the waiver, she was represented by counsel. He was on notice of what was going on.
At the time of the dismissal, she was represented by counsel. Yes, Your Honor, she was.
And he did nothing.
He did not file a complaint with the EEOC.
Our rules generally describe that if you have an attorney and he's representing you and he got notice and he doesn't appear, you're out. Now, you may have a beef against him, but you don't have a beef against the original defendant.
Your Honor, under Coons versus Mineta, and incidentally, in Coons versus Mineta, parties were represented by counsel in that case as well. And what the issue is whether there could be evidence that the ability to communicate between attorney and client would be able to be effective during that time period. And that is what the evidentiary hearing would address. I freely admit that under the general rule, and it is the general rule, that once you've got counsel, there is a waiver. However, this particular issue has not been addressed by this court is
the
whether...
the issue of communication between counsel and client.
Whether
in court and...
whether the district court should have explored that issue when it was raised by plaintiff in her response to the motion to dismiss on the equitable tolling issue, whether at that point the district court...
Did you file a petition under the equitable tolling statute? Is that what you did?
Your Honor, I wasn't involved in this until the case was dismissed. And there was a dismissal without prejudice.
Who raised the equitable tolling issue?
The plaintiff herself in the letter let me address that specifically. What the plaintiff did was address the issues of why this did not happen. Did she use the words equitable tolling in her letter? She did not.
What did she say?
But what she said was effectively, and the letter is in the joint appendix, letter said effectively was, I didn't know what was going on. I was under circumstances where I was under stress, I was under medical conditions, and I frankly did not know what was going on.
Did you talk to the lawyer?
Have I talked to the lawyer?
Yeah.
I've talked to the lawyer. I have. And basically what he said is she's loopy, and I couldn't talk to her. And that's why happened at 05.
He wouldn't have to talk to her to ask for equitable tolling, so...
And I freely admit that, Your Honor. And if I'd been counsel of record, would I have filed a response to the motion to dismiss? I freely admit I would have. The bottom line, Your Honors, is that the law on this issue is narrow, it's straightforward, and it pretty much says under Coons versus Mineta, but that once the issue is raised, that evidentiary hearing is appropriate, and that's all we're asking for in this matter, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, Nathan Wyatt on behalf of the appellee, the Postmaster General. The law is clear, Your Honors, that a condition Yes, Your Honor.
Well, the law is clear. I'm just struck with the clarity of the law all the way along. I don't know why we get involved.
Speaking of the law being clear.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why didn't the government argue that she waived her equitable tolling argument?
Equitable tolling was raised by the district court sua sponte, Your Honor, in response to the pro se letter from Ms. Douglas, which was in response to our motion to dismiss.
That is, you didn't get a chance to raise the issue because it was already done for you.
That is correct, Your Honor. The court raised it in the first instance.
Should have told her to be quiet. Let me raise it.
Generally, Your Honors, a condition precedent to a federal employee filing a employment discrimination lawsuit is the exhaustion of administrative remedies. Ms. Douglas has conceded at every stage in this lawsuit that she has failed to exhaust administrative remedies. So we stand here today. She has never filed a formal EEOC complaint.
Did you move in the district court to dismiss her case for failure to state a claim for relief or for summary judgment?
We filed a motion to dismiss or in the alternative for summary judgment, Your Honor, on the basis that she had failed to exhaust her administrative remedies. The only response that was filed to that was a pro se letter from Ms. Douglas, although at the time an attorney had entered his appearance. Today, the appellant has focused once again on the Coons case. I would only point out that in distinguishing the Coons case that the plaintiff in that case had filed a formal administrative complaint. The agency had rejected it as untimely, and the issue before the district court was reviewing the agency's decision regarding timeliness. So there, the plaintiff had exhausted administrative remedies, significantly different from this case, where the plaintiff conceded at the district court and at every level that she never exhausted administrative remedies.
The woman was a letter carrier in East St. Louis?
That is correct, Your Honor. Unless the panel has any further questions, we will rest on our brief.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And I have really nothing to add, Your Honors, other than what Coons versus Mineta addressed, the issues of whether an evidentiary hearing is required in all these situations. That's what the court asked for in that case. That's all we're asking for in this case, unless the court has any other questions.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning at 9:30.